Kingdom, a part of the Lord's universal church. I'm grateful to be more particular than that, to be a Protestant. I'm thankful for that. I'm grateful that we are of the Reformed stream of evangelical believers. I'm glad to be identified as not just a Protestant, but I'm glad to be identified as an evangelical. What does that mean to be an evangelical? It means that we believe that God has given us strict instructions about sharing the gospel, and we believe that we exist to make His glory known. And so I'm grateful, and as people identify me and they say, well, you're just Southern Baptist, I say, well, I'm a lot more than just Southern Baptist. I'm really evangelical to the core. I'm really Reformed. I'm a believer. And I really want to instill in you all and in my family, in my life, I want to embody what it means to be a Great Commission believer. That's what it means as evangelicals. There are those who would not be evangelical in nature. That means they would be Christian, but they don't believe that it is our responsibility to share the gospel or make the gospel known to anyone, that that's all God's work and God does it in His way. We have no responsibility in that. But we believe that the Lord gives strict instructions in His Word, very clear, motivating instructions in His Word in Matthew chapter 22 and Matthew chapter 28 about what it means to love God and to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we believe one of the ways of loving our neighbors as ourselves is by sharing in the Great Commission. And so I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 28. Some of you are already turning there and finding that, Matthew 28. And today we're going to be reading together verses 18, 19, and 20, a very familiar passage of Scripture. And I'm going to take a few minutes to share what that scripture means and what is it that the Lord specifically is calling us to do and what does that look like. But I also want to take time this morning to, and on top of our Faith Forward Master Facility and Ministry Plan, to speak this morning about what that looks like in the upcoming years for us here at Calvary Baptist Church. And so on your bulletin this morning when you came in, Brian and Becky fixed for us a different cover, and it simply says, Calvary Loves Glasgow, Pray, Learn, Reach, Plant. I want to sort of share with you what that means today. If God indeed has called us to love Him and to love our neighbor, one of the ways that God is calling us to love our neighbor is through this emphasis called Calvary Loves Glasgow. And what does that mean? That's a worthy statement, isn't it? Calvary loves Glasgow. That's a worthy statement, because Jesus, dying on the cross, surely loved Glasgow, and not only the people of Glasgow, but people all around the world. And so, hence, you see a missions team leading us in a totally His Great Commission offering of $60,000 to get the gospel everywhere. But we, as we attempt to get the gospel everywhere, to places it has never been, we also need to be reminded to take care of getting the gospel to neighbors and friends and family, people here in South Central Kentucky, in our immediate community, people not only in South Central Kentucky, but in Kentucky, in the United States, because we are living amongst a group of people who desperately, desperately need to experience the love of Jesus Christ. And so as we consider His mission to engage, Jesus, a life like no other, and His mission that He gives us and how He calls us to engage that and to embrace that. What does that look like? I would say to you, I am not only grateful, now watch this, to be a part of the universal kingdom, to be a part of the Protestant movement, to be reformed inside that movement, to be an evangelical inside that movement. But listen to what I am so grateful about. I'm grateful to be a part of Calvary Baptist Church. 10 years being here, and Tracy and I rejoice. As you guys were singing, my heart was overwhelmed to look at you all. Y'all can lead us in worship, because there are stories of praise, and there are stories of triumph, and there are stories of sadness and sorrow. There are stories of grace here in the choir as they lead us in worship. And I'm sitting there thinking, I am so delighted to be a part of this faith family. As I had opportunity to look at that back in September, as we were celebrating 10 years here, and I knew that anniversary date was coming up, and I was thinking to myself, man, 10 years has come and gone really quickly. And as I was saying, Lord, I don't know how much time you have left for me here, but whatever that time is, I want to be absolutely the best pastor I can at leading us to do the one thing that we've yet to do really well. So we've done a lot of things really well by the grace of our Lord. Aren't you grateful for that? If you are, say amen. We have seen multiple families called and sent to the mission field, right? Whether it was the Perkins who were with us back in October, whether it was the Davises who have been called out, whether it is the Pages who have come back, whether you're an old timer here at Calvary and you were here back in the 60s and you remember the Musons being called out, and there's others that have been called out. We've done a great job offering up our people to the mission field to be sent around the world. A matter of fact, people in the community, if you say, what's Calvary known for? People who know us and love us say, well, they're known for missions. They're going to get the word out there and they're going to take it around the world, right? And we're known for that. And we've done an incredibly great job at doing that. We've done a great job at loving one another and loving people as they come in. Do y'all want to know what the number one compliment that we have when people come and we follow up with them? Do you know what the number one compliment is? It's not, man, you're the best preacher I've ever heard. All right? It's just not that. I never get that. You are the most eloquent speaker I have ever heard. I never get that. The number one compliment that we get is, it's the friendliest fellowship of believers I've ever been a part of. And you all are. You're really welcoming. You go out of your way to make people feel welcome and feel a part. And as we continue to grow to love each other and to know how to serve each other better and how to love our community and serve our community better, I know that God's just going to lead us to excel in that. And so if you say, okay, preacher, we're great at missions, we're great at loving each other and loving our community, what else is it that you feel like we really, really need to do? And I would say this to you. It is not only what Calvary Baptist needs to know how to do, but it's what all of our Southern Baptist Convention needs to know how to do. It's what all of the evangelical church in America really needs to learn to do, and it's this. How can we make disciples in a biblical way? Because unintentionally down through the years, this is what's happened. We have allowed church and worship to take the responsibility that we have of making disciples and communicating the gospel and loving people individually and walking them through just the day in, day out, highs and lows of what it means to be a believer. We've allowed the church to take on that responsibility. And you say, well, it is the church's responsibility. And if we're referring to the church as every individual member, I would say thumbs up, absolutely. But if we're referring to the church as a program, as of what we do on Sunday morning at worship and in Bible study, and as what we do on Wednesday nights with Awana and student ministry and some what we call discipleship classes, if we call that making disciples, we're not doing the best job at that. You all know as well as I do that you can come to church all of your life and die and miss heaven and go to hell. How many of you all realize that today? You can do that. You can be raised in church. Your mama and daddy can say, I want to raise my children in church, and raise your children in church only to find that when they leave home, they want nothing to do with church. The church is not the answer for the ailing human heart and the longing soul. Jesus is the answer for the longing human heart and the agony of sin in our soul. If you believe that Jesus alone is that answer, would you affirm that by saying amen? And amen. Our church should and will always point people to Jesus. But the Lord says, I not only want you to point people to me, I not only want you to invite them to come and worship me, but here's what he says. I want you to go and make disciples. And so let's read that today, and then we're going to work our way through that, and then I want to share with you how Calvary can do just a great job, how the Lord is leading us in making disciples as we move toward a new year. It simply says this in verse 18. Jesus is about to ascend. Ascension is at hand. He's about to be offered up and ascend into heaven so that his Holy Spirit can descend and fill every human heart, every follower, every believer of Christ can be filled with his presence. And this is what Jesus said. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Lord, would you speak today through your word? How we thank you for it. We thank you that you are faithful to the end. We're thankful, God, that your majesty is there for us to absolutely enjoy and to delight in. And Lord, just to absolutely be able to praise you for. But Lord, we are also awfully grateful, Lord, delighted that there is a mission of yours to engage. That Lord, you have given us a commission, a commandment to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that you have commanded us, remembering always that you are with us to the end of the age. God, will you help us to not only understand that today, Lord, this is an old sermon with a fresh anointing for our hearts and our minds today. And Lord, I'm asking you that you would empower your people here at Calvary Baptist Church and all over South Central Kentucky and every evangelical believer in the United States, that God, we would engage your mission. That Lord, you would call us to make disciples. Lord, we would understand what that means. And then God, that you would empower us and equip us to do that. And Lord, that multitudes, that the harvest would be saved, that it would be gleaned, that Lord, we could come rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us, that Lord, your name could be exalted and magnified and glorified throughout the earth, because Lord, you're not only moving in places like China or places like India or places now like the Philippines and how you've been working there or in Russia, but God, that you have chosen to work here in the United States of America and to save a multitude. And God, we ask you to do that in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And all of you said amen. Amen. Let me give you four thoughts this morning. Really, four divine imperatives that you see in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Divine imperatives, what does that mean? It means that there's no mistaking that this is a command of the Lord. It's directly from the mouth of the Lord. It's not only directly from his mouth, but there can be no mistake of what he's calling us to do. Four things in the Great Commission. That if we are to engage the commission that God has given to us, we must, and if we're going to fulfill this mission that he's given to us, we must first of all, number one, go. Do you see it there in verse 19? What a simple word, but what a great word. We must go. We must go make disciples. And we must not only go, but he uses another phrase there, a word. He says, go, therefore, and make disciples. That word go is a tremendous word. First of all, it speaks of not being passive, because the evangelical Christian faith is not passive, but it is active. It is actively to be sharing the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, believing that the gospel has power to change lives. The idea that Jesus was extending to his disciples before he ascended into heaven was more than just come and see, but it was to go and tell. It is the idea that we don't believe that there are just multitudes of people out there who are going to just wander their way into church buildings all throughout America and hear the gospel proclaimed and be saved. That is not what was at the heart of the Great Commission. What was at the heart of Jesus commanding his disciples and us today to go was the idea that he is actively taking the initiative. How many of you are glad that the Lord actively sought you out? If you remember when you were lost and when the Lord came to you through his Spirit, through a witness of a friend or a family member, through someone at a church coming and knocking at your door and inviting you to a revival meeting, do you remember when the Lord was actively seeking you out? Do you remember that? Will you raise your hand? Aren't you glad of that? I am so thankful. He sent two different guys, man, to seek me out, and I am so grateful to God that he did. I heard one at home. I heard one at work, and man, those guys were just pursuing me under the leadership of the Lord. It is the idea that we are not passively just standing by waiting. Lord, if you send us somebody, we'll tell them about Jesus. If you send them somebody, we'll invite them to a small group. If you send us somebody, we'll teach them how to sing a song. But it's the idea of that we are being used of the Holy Spirit of God, actively pursuing that which is lost. People who are wandering around like sheep, having no shepherd. But it carries with it the idea of not only actively seeking to share the gospel and making Jesus Christ known, but it carries with it, this simple word go, carries with it the idea that we're not going alone. When he says, go therefore, why is it there? It's there because he's reminding us back in verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And so he's saying, therefore, because all authority has been given to the Lord Jesus in heaven and on earth, I'm sending you out. You can go, therefore, because all authority has been given to the Lord, and the Lord is actively at work building his church. You know what's an amazing thing and what I'm trusting the Lord to do? I hear reports when I'm listening to David Platt talk about how God is sweeping through villages in India and not just saving 5 or 10 folks at a time. He's saving hundreds and thousands of people at a time. In northern India, there is a great movement of God going on right now. Entire villages are hearing the gospel and they're responding to the gospel. People are being saved. They're following the Lord in baptism. Churches are springing up. House churches are just springing up everywhere. Where Kim and Wes, the country they are serving in over there, man, there is an underground church that is spreading the gospel and people are being saved in just incredible ways. In just the 2 short years that the Pages have been in the big country that we're referring to, because I know Todd's recording this message and we'll put it on the internet, they've already seen 2 young college-age students, high school-age students come to faith in Christ. That's a pretty good return. And you know what those 2 young ladies are doing? They're out sharing the gospel and telling people about Jesus. And so when I look around the world, whether it's Indonesia, whether it's India, whether it's the big country that we're talking about, whether it's Russia, I mean, God is at work saving not handfuls of people, but saving entire villages and towns. And you know what my prayer is? God, will you do that here? Lord, will you do it here in America? We're every bit as lost as the people who have not heard. If you say, preacher, do you really believe America is lost? Do you believe that our country as a whole reflects the gospel and the grace of Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. What we reflect is the hedonism of our day, whether it is materially, whether it is sexually, whether it is humanistically speaking. Our country embodies just this picture of being engrossed and totally consumed by those things, not totally consumed with Christ and his Lordship. So I'm praying in these days, God, will you save America? Will you save Glasgow? Lord, will you begin to save entire blocks and roads and neighborhoods and families and people here in our community and in our communities, not just Glasgow, but all of our communities that we come from. And so how are we going to see God at work doing that? Well, we must go in God's power and authority. We're not going alone, right? If all authority has been given to God, the reason he was sharing that with his disciples was this reason. He was wanting them to know that they could go in the authority of his name. They could go in the power of his Holy Spirit. How many of you here today, you've been born again? Will you raise your hand high? You know, unashamed, you've been born again. Do you know what every one of you who've been born again have? You have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in you. You have, listen to this, a God-given aptitude to know him through the power of the word. You have the story of how Jesus came to you. Maybe it's not like my story. Maybe you weren't raised in Chicago. Maybe you weren't saved as a 19-year-old sophomore at the University of Kentucky. But nonetheless, you were saved. Maybe it was at Bible school. Maybe it was at some revival meeting. Maybe someone came to your door and knocked on your door. Maybe you were just driving in your car and you'd been listening to the gospel over the radio and you pulled over and asked Christ to come into your heart. Here is the common denominator. We've all been saved by the power of God. The Holy Spirit is living in us, and we have this God-given aptitude now to understand his word and to be able to share the gospel. And so what is lacking for us as Americans? What is lacking for us as Christians here? What is lacking for us here at Calvary? And I would say to you, oh, my brothers and sisters, it is to be able to grab hold, to lay hold of the burden of sharing the gospel and making Christ known and having the confidence and courage we need to be able to go out in that authority. My brothers and sisters, any movement of God that calls us to go is going to begin in prayer. If you believe that, say amen. We must be a praying people. We must be praying and asking God to do a deep, deep work in us to make us the very people that he's called us to be. And make no mistake about it, we will be fought in that every step of the way. Richard Sibbes, an old Puritan, said this. He said, when we go to God by prayer, the devil knows we go to fetch strength against him. And therefore, he opposes us all he can. How many of you have ever made up your mind and think, I'm going to start praying, I'm going to ask for God's power, I'm going to start sharing, I want to be the believer God wants me to be. And when you make up that decision in your mind, it seems like all hell is unleashed against you. If you've ever experienced that, would you raise your hand? Do you know why that is? It's exactly what Sibbes said. Sibbes knew and understood, just like you know and understood, that when we go to the Lord in prayer, that we are going to tap into a power source that is not of us, but it is of the Lord. And it will empower us to be able to go out and share the gospel in ways that pleases the Lord. And so we are to go, therefore, and make disciples. That's the second thing you see there in verse 19. So what does he call us to do? Go, and he calls us to make disciples. We have done a tremendous job getting the gospel to nations, and we now must focus on not only getting the gospel around the world, but also getting the gospel to our community. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when you see Jesus Luke is adding what Matthew leaves out here about the Great Commission. This is what Jesus says. Jesus says, you know what? You are to make disciples in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jerusalem is here. And we must partner with people like the Pages or the Davises or IMB personnel, people around the world that are sharing the gospel. But we must partner together to get the gospel to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. How many of you believe that? Will you raise your hand? How many of you today, you know of someone who's unchurched, that doesn't know the Lord, their life is crumbling around them? If they were to die today, they would miss eternity. If you know of somebody like that here in our community or in our communities, would you raise your hand? We all know of people like that, right? And so he tells us that we are to make disciples. We are to make disciples here as well as of all nations. Making disciples really involves four simple things. Write them down. I'm going to give them to you really quick. You're going to hear about these over and over again. We're going to help you walk through these things in the days and months to come. But making disciples involves four simple things. Number one, a love for the lost. A love for the lost. Can I ask you a question? Do you love lost people? Do you love lost people? Do you love the person who's unchurched? Do you love the person that doesn't act like you or think like you or have the same tastes or desires in your life? Can you love a person that is bound by sin or has self-righteousness tempted you to mistake the person in their soul with their sin, and so therefore you have just backed off of lost people altogether and just have decided, that's not for me. Oh, my brothers and sisters, Jesus loved lost people. If you believe it, say amen. He walked with lost people and he talked with lost people. He not at one time did he ever become like them in their sin, except when he was on the cross. Never did he yield to their sin. But you know what he did? He ministered to them. He loved them. He got to share the kingdom life with them. We must love lost people. And the second thing that's involved in making disciples is this, an understanding of the gospel. How many of you know that if you have been born again and Jesus has changed your life, you know enough of the gospel to begin making disciples? Do you know that? Making disciples doesn't mean that you have to have a PhD in systematic theology or preaching from Southern Seminary. A matter of fact, my brothers and sisters, listen to what I'm saying to you. Sometimes that kind of knowledge given to the heart that is not yielded to the Lord becomes a huge stumbling block in sharing the gospel with lost people, because it becomes a head knowledge that puffs up and not a heart reality that goes out and shares. Does that make sense? If it makes sense, say amen. And so we must not only get doctrine correct and right, we must not only understand how Jesus saves people, but more importantly, we understand it so that we can share it, so that Jesus can change lives, so that his life and namesake can be glorified by his very creation. You say, preacher, you mean to tell me if I know that all people are sinners, and I know that Jesus died on the cross for people's sins, and that he rose on the third day that he might have everlasting life, and that for everyone who believes on him, if they would turn from their sin and call upon him, trusting him, believing him in faith, by faith, that they too can be saved and live forever because Jesus lives forever, do you believe that that's enough that I can begin making disciples? And I would say to you, absolutely, you can. That's a mouthful, what we just shared. Do we believe that people are sinners? Absolutely. So as you begin to make disciples and begin to share that, you know, one of the things you spend time is talking about sin, talking about your own sin, talking about people's sin, just getting into a relationship with a person to where you know them well enough and there's confidence and trust that's built there to where you can just absolutely talk to one another about sin. Is there anyone here that would agree with me? Did you ever get just so tired of pretentious conversations where everything is just gee whiz, hallelujah, and praise the Lord? What I have found out, my life is not just always gee whiz, hallelujah, and praise the Lord. Sometimes there is agony. Sometimes there is pain. Oftentimes there is temptation. Sometimes there is sin and disobedience. And you know, in that life, that is what we share. And people in our community want to know that you and I have not graduated past all of that, but we still understand the thing that plagued us is the same thing that plagues them today. And so we just have an understanding of the gospel, of not only the sin factor, but of what it means, how much Jesus loved us, that he would go to the cross, what the implications of the resurrection are for the person who believes, how a person turns from their sin, understanding the gospel. And here's the third thing. Are you listening? You're listening too slow. The third thing is courage to share. Courage to share. not only a love for the lost and understanding of the gospel, but courage to share. I just really believe that we have all become just so touchy-feely, we hate for someone to say, I'm not interested. We hate to be rejected. And I want to remind you of something. When you go and share and attempt to make disciples, build a relationship with somebody in hopes that you can share the gospel with them, I want you to know there's not a greater demonstration of a love of the Lord that can be extended to that person or people than that endeavor right there, of sharing the gospel with them. But if you're anything like your pastor, sometimes the devil will say to you, don't share with them, they're just going to say no. You ever think like that? They don't want to hear it. They're just going to think you're a fanatic. Go ahead and share, but you're just going to be wasting your time. Do you know what I love about the New Testament? Listen to this. When the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, they received a boldness and a courage and a confidence in the gospel in such a way that they would just go out and share, and they left the implications to the Lord. Y'all hone in here. None of us can change a person's life. Aren't y'all okay with that? All we are is the person that delivers the news, right? And so we just do that with great courage and confidence. And here's the fourth thing, and I'm needing to hurry. What's the fourth thing that's involved in making disciples? Time to invest in relationships. And you may be here today and you'd say, Pastor, I just don't have any time. And I would just say, well, how much time are you watching movies or sporting events or working on your yard or doing something maybe that doesn't have to be done in order to be able to sit down with somebody and say, hey, we're going to have dinner at our house. Would you come over this night? We're going to eat dinner anyway. Every one of us eats dinner. Can I get an amen? And then be able to invite someone, just say, we're going to eat dinner tonight, and when we eat dinner, we're just going to talk about the gospel. If you say, preacher, that don't work, it absolutely does work. I had some people come over who were visiting one Sunday after church, and I don't know, there were three or four different couples there, and we just sat around the table, and I said, here's what happened to me when I was saved. We're eating supper, passing bread, eating lunch, and I just said, you guys tell me about when you were saved, will you? And one by one, they just went around. I believe Alan and Charity were there that day, I believe. Were y'all there that day? I think you were. Who was that? Who? I couldn't hear you. Oh, Wes and Leanna. I'm getting deaf in my old age. And so maybe it was their brother and sister is who it was, but they were there that day. And then I'm trying to think of who it was that they were just going around the table. There were four or five families there, and we came to one particular lady. It was, help me, Becky, Jeff, and Sandra Nunn. And Sandra Nunn just said, I've yet to be saved. And I said, is that right? And she said, yes. I said, well, do you want to talk about that now, or do you want to talk about that later? And she said, could we talk about that later? And I said, well, absolutely. And I said, is it okay if we pray for you? And she said, absolutely, I would love for you to do that. And we just kept going around the table. So she heard different people's testimony. And then I called her one day and said, hey, would you like to learn more about the Lord and what it means to be saved? She said, I would love to. And so I said, what about, you're going to be home tonight? Tracy and I can come see you. She said, yes. And so we went that night. Her daughter had already been saved. She had been praying for her mom and her brother. And you know what? The Lord came there that night, and as I was sharing the gospel, really, with her son, she's sitting there listening, holding on to every word. And when I say, is there any questions? Brock doesn't have any, but Sandra says, well, I've got two. And she throws those questions out there, easy questions any of y'all could have answered. And the next thing I know, she's kneeling there at her recliner, weeping, asking Jesus to be the Lord of her life. You say, preacher, is it that simple? It is. It really is. Taking time to just build relationships with people to where we can share the gospel. And then he says this, go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean, baptizing them? Well, it's leading converts to a public profession of Christ. It's instructing them and helping them to know if you're really serious about having your your life changed and being a Christ follower, you must not be ashamed of him. You must profess that before others. And the number one way that we profess our faith in Christ is by following him in believers' baptism. And so it's explaining to them, and it's actually baptizing them. I love one of the greatest things that we do here at Calvary. I hope you never change it, is we give people who are obedient to the Lord, dads who are obedient to the Lord, we give them the opportunity to baptize their own children. We give people who are leading other people to faith in Christ opportunities to baptize those folks. And the reason that we do that is because this great commission was not given just to elders. It wasn't given just to pastors. It wasn't given just to teachers, but it was given to the church. We are to go forward in the power and the name of Christ under the authority of the New Testament church, and we are to lead people in public profession of Christ as they follow the Lord in believers' baptism. But baptizing them also carries with it this idea. It is leading converts to plug deeply in to a faith family. Aren't you glad that when we're saved, we're just not saved and put out there on an island somewhere? We're just not saved to wander to ourselves and figure out Christianity and the faith all by ourselves? No, but God puts us in a family of believers so that we can grow together. And so this idea of baptizing them not only is public profession, but it's the idea of plugging deeply in to a faith family that we can grow in the knowledge of, the doctrines of the gospel in, and then teaching them. Verse 20, he says, to observe all that I have commanded you. This is teaching a new convert what it means to be a follower of Christ according to God's word. It's basic Bible doctrine. It's not the idea that I have to know big theological terms or words, or that I have to have Millard Erickson's systematic memorized to be able to do that. It's just teaching people really a lot of what we've been talking about here for the last years. We've been looking at Jesus, a life like no other. It's just teaching them what it means to live the Sermon on the Mount out, right, day to day. It's the idea of growing. It's the idea of teaching. It's the idea of yielding to God's word, discovering truths together that we can be obedient in and follow the Lord in, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And so where do we go with that? Go, make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them. That's what God's called us to do. How do we feel like the Lord's leading us to do that in the upcoming months and years here at Calvary, that our community might come to faith in Christ in an overwhelming way? Well, the first thing is through prayer. And you can see that Scott has on there under the Calvary Loves Glasgow idea. It's the idea that not only does Jesus on the cross love Glasgow, but that you and I love the people of Glasgow. We love the people of Allen County and Medcalf and Hart and Monroe. We love South Central Kentucky. If you are thankful for God and the people that he's allowed us to be surrounded by and in, would you raise your hand like this? Don't you love the people of our community? And so one of the ways that we can properly love them is to pray for them. And we want to pray, Luke 10:2. We want to pray that the harvest is plentiful. That's a prayer of faith. We want to acknowledge that laborers are few. That's a prayer of confession. We want to pray earnestly to the Lord. That's a prayer of dependence. It's the Lord and his harvest. And so we're praying dependently that he would send out laborers into the harvest. This is a prayer of confidence that God is going to send out, that he is going to send out laborers into the harvest, that people would come to know him. And so we're going to be asking you in the upcoming days, beginning next week, that you will continue to join us as we pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Will you ask Jesus in your prayer time to make you a disciple-making laborer? We're not asking you just to pray about a whole hodgepodge of things. That's okay, but will you pray specifically that the Lord, who has this harvest that he is ready to reap, and he says laborers are few, would you pray that he would propel, thrust out, send out laborers, and would you dare to make this your prayer? God, make me a laborer. Will you make me one who is willing to engage the people that are in the harvest? Calvary will love Glasgow and the people of our community through prayer, but Calvary will love Glasgow as we learn. We've heard this morning that we are to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. And in January, beginning January 26th through March 23rd of the new year, would you join us, your faith family, in the Multiply Movement? You say, what is the Multiply Movement? It is just a 9-week host home focus that's going to allow us to come alongside one another and unchurched people and learn how to make disciples. So if you're here today and you say, you know what, I really do, I would love for the Lord to use me over the next 3 to 4 or 5 years and just walking someone through what it means to be a faithful disciple of Christ. Can I say to you that we will not only seek to equip you, but do it with you, walk with you during this 9-week host home focus. And so you can see the dates are the 26th through of January through March 23rd. You'll be hearing more about that. Our staff is trusting that the Lord is going to raise up 45 host homes in our church, that people on Sunday afternoons or evenings, if you want to have it on a Friday or a Thursday, that's your prerogative, but that the Lord would raise up 45 folks to open their homes and to invite 3 or 4 couples that are churched, that understand what it means to be a believer, to come and learn how to make disciples, and at the same time, each of those families could bring somebody that's unchurched, that does not know what it means to be a disciple, does not know what it means to be a follower, so that we can sit down together in our homes and learn what it means to make disciples. It's just going to be a wonderful time of learning and being able to invite and beginning to make some real relationships and discovering how we can do that in a great way that's going to honor the Lord. And then Calvary will be able to love Glasgow as we reach out through not only that Multiply, but on past that as we move toward Easter and then the summer and then next fall and the year following that. I love Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and whoever captures souls is wise." We're going to be asking, listen to this, the parable of the sower is this, that the sower went out to sow, and he sowed, and seed fell upon 4 different soils. 3 of the times, the seed, which is the seed of the gospel, it did not take root. 1 of the times, it took root, and it sprang forth, and it sprang forth and began to bear fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, meaning that the gospel took hold in a person's life and was changed. That person was not only changed, but they became a fruit-bearing disciple. So what are you asking us to do, preacher? As we get through this Multiply, we're going to ask you to focus, to specifically write down on either 4 people or family units or couples, however you look at them, 4 people that you'll attempt to be building gospel-sharing relationships with. Not relationships where you're just talking about the weather or you're talking about sports or you're talking about your job, but relationships to where you can sit down and actually talk about the gospel with a Bible open, and you can answer questions, and you can ask questions, and you can grow together with this person who needs to receive Christ. We just believe that if everyone in our faith family, was sharing the gospel, attempting to do that with 4 different people, over the next many months, we just believe that the Lord is saying, you know what? One of those times that they're sharing with one of those families or one of those people, the gospel's going to take hold, and it's going to bear fruit. People's lives are going to be impacted and changed. Isn't that an exciting thing? If you say, I don't know if I would take that return, only 25%, I would take that return in a heartbeat, wouldn't you? If I said to you, if you go today and sit down and build relationships and share the gospel with 4 people, and in all likelihood, sooner or later, one of those 4 people are going to come to faith in Christ, wouldn't you take that? Wouldn't you do that? Wouldn't you go and attempt to share the gospel with folks so that their hearts could be changed forever? And then Calvary is going to attempt to love Glasgow as we plant churches together. I intended to do this, and I've ran out of time. I've done it one other time here at Calvary when we were in my first year here up in the building. I wanted to go by and touch four of you. And as I touch four, you four stand up and touch four. And watch what happens across this auditorium. In just a matter of about 1 minute or a minute and a half, nearly everybody in this auditorium, if not everybody, would be standing up. And then if I had three of the four sit down, you'd be amazed with how many were still standing up. And the question is, what do we do as God grants us a harvest and we're seeing people come to faith in Christ? We're asking you to pray about, would you be willing to start praying, God, if this is where you're leading us over the next several years in ministry, you're going to teach us how to make disciples. You're going to teach us what it means to teach them. You're going to call us to pray and to reach out like never before here locally. If that's what God is intending to do in our fellowship, where are we going to put all them people? Right? You guys just voted. You just voted back in, what, July to do this Faith Forward facility plan. It just doesn't have room for all those people. So where are we going to put those people? It's going to call us to plant other churches. And there are places all over this area that need more Bible-believing churches planted. If you believe that this morning, would you say amen? There just needs to be more churches. And so what we're asking you to do is, would you begin to pray now that as God equips us to pray and learn and reach and multiply, reproduce, would you pray and ask if God would be leading you to be a part of one of Calvary's first local church plants? And so if you've been here since 1960, this is what you'll remember. Calvary was a plant of Glasgow Baptist Church. And they planted us on Columbia Avenue to reach the middle-class neighborhood of Park Avenue, McKenna, this area. And you know what? You reached middle-class Glasgow. It's amazing the number of school personnel, middle-class people that are not only at our church now, but that have been at our church down through the years. It's just amazing the number of people that have been reached in that way. Do you know what we need to do? We need to go and plant churches as well. So we're 50 years old, and we're attempting to plant a church called Bucket End, a beautiful hill, with the Davises over in Malaysia. But here's what we've yet to do in 50 years. We've yet to plant a local church here in our community. Don't you think it's about time to do that? Don't you think it's about time to disciple people in such a way that people are coming in, not just to be a part of Sunday school or church, although we want them to do that, but they're coming in and getting connected to Christ. Their lives are being changed so that they can reproduce and go reach other people with the gospel of Christ. I believe that God would be greatly honored in that. If you believe that he would you say amen? Amen. Now stand to your feet. I'm going to make you laugh. You remember that the choir sang and that Justin sang. And that we had IMB Lottie Moon offering today. I really didn't preach that long. Everybody else ran you over today. Will you remember that? And here's what I want to remind you of. God is leading us to not just send some families and give some dollars to get the gospel out there. But he's leading us to take the gospel next door. To the people on our streets, to the people in our community, that we'd have the courage and boldness to be rejected and be able to receive that with a smile and the kindness of Christ, to be able to tell people how the Lord can make a difference. And so what I want to invite you to do is, will you bow your heads and shut your eyes? And would you pray this morning that God would raise up laborers? Would you pray this morning that God would give us a real heart to learn what it means to make disciples, and that we begin that process. Would you begin to think about everybody that you just know? Because next Sunday, I'm going to ask you to write down just everybody that you know on a piece of paper. And then I'm going to ask you to identify some of them to be praying for, and then even within a smaller group of them, some people that you're going to be seeking to build relationships with as we move toward the new year, that you might share the gospel with them. And would you just pray and ask God to help us plant, to help us not just be so thrilled or so excited or so comfortable with what we have here that we forget about the need of taking the gospel out and planting churches in other places. As Justin and Belinda minister to us in song, this is not one of those that you sing along with. This is just one of those that you hear as we pray together. Lord, would you work in our hearts as only you can? Lord, I pray that you would not only allow us to hear the Great Commission fresh and new, but God, to embrace it. And Lord, will you help us as a church family? Will you help us to love Glasgow and the communities that Glasgow represents? And Lord, we're going to be grateful for how you do that. As Justin and Belinda sing, if you need to come, we want to invite you to come.